Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Beverly D, and you are listening to Truth to Power. And tonight we have author Sister Seta Aset, and she is doing a live audio book of one of her books, which is Chemistry 9X. And Sister Seta Aset, how are you doing this evening?
Hello, Sister Bev. How are you doing today?
Great, great.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Okay, I'm surviving this germ warfare that they got out here on us. So I'm still here.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they say. I think I listened to a little bit of it, and then, you know, because the president is hilarious. Every time he comes on there, he just makes me laugh. He's just funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. I listen to what he's saying at that moment. And then after that, I might listen to a little bit of the fake doctors. And then after that, I'm done. And that's it for me
right.
for today as far as the COVID-19 or whatever they're calling it, COVID-19.
Right.
I'm done after that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's enough for
I
me.
I do the same thing. Yeah, right. You know, listen, because he got one message and they got another message, and you could see it, you know, you could hear it. So,
Well, normally he would be out there a little longer than he has been the last couple of updates. I think yesterday and today are the 2 days that, you know, he went back on in wherever he goes when he gets off the podium. Mm-hmm. And because I think he's getting tired of some of the questions that the reporters are asking him, and I think he's fed up with it. So I think that's why he doesn't stay out there very long anymore. Yeah, because he used to tangle with them, so I think he's done with them now.
Yeah, and he's in the background making moves. You know, he's making. Yeah. I think he's ready to make his big move now. He's back there negotiating with other leaders, and so, you know, this is like a chess game. They making the deep state making their moves. He making his moves. So I think he's ready to make a move now.
Yeah, because, you know, I think, you know, it's getting to, I woke up this morning, I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's getting to the point to where everybody's just getting tired of this mess. Somebody have to make a move to do something. So I think we're not going to last until the end of April. I think it's going to happen before the end of April. And there will be some changes made, some changes that we have to make, the same way we did, and you know, when it happened in 9/11, and after 9/11 was some changes that society had to deal with. So I think we're going to have, well, I know that we're going to have some changes we're going to have to deal with after this, you know, to keep the, I don't know how we say, to keep this charade going for a little while, because things are not going to go back to normal. Because if things go back to normal, then of course it's going to come right out and tell people in their face that this was all a lie. And see, they couldn't say that with 9/11. They had to make it to where you think it's the truth, but then again, we know it wasn't the truth. Because if you think about that, Sister Bell, now Donald Trump wasn't president. He was just a plain old billionaire, whatever, doing whatever he do. But then, you know, he has some conspiracy theories about 9/11, too, because he used to talk against 9/11 and was saying it was fake and it wasn't real. Because I think I'm going to have to find that video where he was on this YouTube video going step by step and point by point to where he thought that the 9/11 was fake. So, see, he has to play that same game, too, up to a point. Just like this coronavirus, he has to play this game up to a certain point. So that's why I'm saying that our society is really not going to go back to where it was before this. So he has to play that game for real this time. Hello, you there, Sister Beth?
Okay, I'm back.
Hello?
That's my phone.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of us talked about it back during that time, and we was doing the research on it, but it wasn't a lot of us like it is now. It's a lot of people on the internet, but we broke it down back then that it was the Bushes. You know, I remember where the guys had came in and they had set the dynamite up in the building, and we did research on it back then. It's the same thing. Because we dealing with the same people. And so these same people is going by the same playbook. And just like the two doctors up there, they the ones that started the HIV epidemic. So they just keep repeating the same thing over and over again. But now you have someone that has seen them all the time, and now he's battling them. And he's not, the people is helping, because we getting the word out, people starting to really see what is going on. We weren't able to get the word out as fast with the 9/11, but it's really coming out now.
Exactly right. And, you know, back in 9/11, you know, like I said, Trump, you know, wasn't president or whatever, and he was doing his little building thing. By him being in the industry of building, you know, buildings and whatever, you know, he broke it down step by step how if you build a building like that, there's no way it's going to come down with an airplane. I have to find that video and send it out.
Yeah,
because he certainly, you know, he put it down, you know, like this was all fake all day.
Yeah.
So he's wanting to do the same thing. He was wanting to do the same thing with the coronavirus, but he can't right now because I think he's using it for something else that he wants to do. Because he said the past administrations, you know, because he keep bringing that up, the past administrations left me with a bunch of junk, you know, and I have to clean it up. And he don't mind saying it. He don't mind calling them out. So he has that same mental attitude he had when 9/11 went down. And I think that's a good thing. I just hope, you know, I hope he succeeds, continue to succeed.
Well, I think he will, because if it's anything like Dr. X says, he's a time traveler. So if he's been here before, he know what bullets to dodge. You know, he know which way they're coming. So I believe he's going to be, because he'd have been gone. They already tried 2-3 times to get him out. He wouldn't been here this long. So, you know, the whole system is changing. It's a battle. We're right in the middle of a war. This is definitely a war, but it's, you know, it's not the kind that we used to. But it's a war, and I feel like that he had the people behind him now is helping him, because the people is spreading the word. They're getting the word out there.
Well, Sister Bev, you're in Detroit, correct?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Okay. Have you been informed, or has anybody said to you about some mysterious lights or something that they've seen in Detroit lately?
I saw somebody on YouTube that had a thing they showed in the sky where the lights was blinking and it looked like some alien stuff, but I didn't know where it was from.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were saying it's in Detroit. Now, what part of Detroit, I don't know. I just, you know, there were some residential houses, but I don't know where at in Detroit. I just thought you might have had a little bit more information on that, because here we are, okay?
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
So I guess the Space Force is desperately needed right now. So,
and maybe that's why they got us in the house, because we don't know what kind of battle going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right about that. This is interesting. Go ahead, Sabrina.
Yeah, because, you know, something is going on behind the scenes, but you don't really know what it is. It's something going on behind the scenes that they're not telling us.
And yeah, I agree.
I think they use the virus to keep us in, so we don't look up in the sky.
I think, well, for me, I feel it's twofold. It's twofold. It's so much going on. There's a certain species that they don't want to see being able to survive something that the proverbial they won't be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, why leave it with them? Why can't we just, you know, destroy everything on our way out? Because
mm-hmm.
we know we're on
exactly.
our way out. So
yeah.
Just take everything down. And what we don't want anyone to see, you know, we'll use this to keep them in the house as well, keep everybody in the house as well. That's what I'm looking at.
Here in Detroit, it seems like that Detroit is under attack, because if you go in the suburbs and you ride around and you look, everybody is out. They out walking. The parks is open. They at the parks. The children is out riding the bikes. The family is all, you know, they walking around, they on their yard, they clean outside, everybody outside. But when you come in the city, you know, it's got even a different feel to it. It's like everybody is in, nobody's sitting on the porch. You know, and now they talking about Detroit got the largest amount of the virus. I mean, how is it? And when it's not a lot of people out, I mean, you got some, but not like in the suburbs. I particularly and do my own investigation. So I ride around. I go see what I see, and this is what I'm seeing. People are out by the water. I mean, they out. It's just people everywhere in the suburbs. They not in their homes. But in the city, they got them in their homes, and I noticed that the people that goes to the hospital, they don't come out of there. They end up have everything is the virus. And then what I don't like is people go in the hospital and the family can't go in the hospital with you. They take you in the back, and then they come out and say that the person has died. You can't bury your people, you know. So that's too much cover-up for me. They, you know, we don't know what they're doing to these people.
Well, Sister Bev, as far as I can remember, Detroit has always been under attack. And
yes.
I don't know what it is about Detroit, but it, for me, and this is weird, ever since that movie RoboCop came out, Detroit has been under attack. And maybe a few years before that, but when that movie came out and it featured Detroit as one of the cities with these robotics and the androids and, you know, whatever, fighting in the streets, it, to me, Detroit has just, you know, okay, yeah, that's it. You know, they've always been under attack.
And this governor that we have, she need help. You know, it's like she don't know what she's doing, or she know what she's doing, and she's doing it on purpose. But
and
she
it's
not
intentional.
And that's
sounds
what I'm
like
saying.
It's intentional.
Yes.
Yeah,
it is. And she a Democrat, you know. And Biden was talking about having her run as his running mate, and so she just excuse my French, she's fucking everything up. And like you say, it's probably on purpose. So she not helping. She making things worse.
Well, that sounds like what was that? What was his name? The senator that ran against Barack Obama. That sounds about as bad as him and Sarah Palin running together. So yeah, let him go ahead and run.
Yeah.
He will certainly lose the bid.
Oh, he gonna lose anyway. But but she better get it together. I think they want the people in Detroit to start to riot, to start to act a fool, so they can shut Detroit down and bring the guards, you know, out. But so far, Detroit being cool.
Well, now when the water crisis started in Flint, had she been governor, or did you all have a different governor?
I think it was a different governor. Then, because I wasn't here at that time, I came back, and so we had a different governor then. But I think she came in. I'm not sure, but it's still, they didn't do nothing. They still haven't did
exactly
nothing.
Exactly. I was going to mention, regardless whoever was
nothing.
In there,
who it was,
Michigan.
Right.
You know, because my brother lived in Michigan for many years, and his daughter lived in Texas, so she went to get my brother and take him back down to Texas because he had gotten to the point where he couldn't take care of himself. So she went to get her father, and I was happy about her getting him from Michigan. You know, he said he would never come back to the South, but he always came every year because, of course, he couldn't stay away from quote unquote home. But in his faltering years, he had to let go of Michigan. But Michigan is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. I've been there many times and I like it. I like it, you know, but I don't know if I could live there. You know, he lived in Benton Harbor.
From the South.
And Benton Harbor, Benton Harbor was beautiful. Yeah, I love Benton Harbor. And
I love the lake. I love the lake.
Yeah,
we got all
the
lake
beautiful.
Us.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But
it's beautiful.
We got evil people that's running the place, you know. That's the problem.
Oh, it's evil people everywhere. Evil people is on this planet. The portals been open. The portals have opened up. You know, they've got the archways. You know, they got the vibration in the archways going. So, yeah, we in some times right now. This is we're in the test of time.
And we got a mayor that just stole the election. He broke all the rules to become the mayor. You know, gangsters just all over the place.
The same thing they did in Florida with the Chads, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so now,
mm-hmm.
now if you know, they want to steal it right, and you know, they want to steal it now in your face with mail-in
yeah.
ballots. So I don't think that's a good thing to do. I don't think that's
a good
thing.
No, because I used to work the polls, and they were stealing big time here. And that's what they did. They came in, and they just took these boxes of ballots. And I'm looking at them. Ain't nobody paying no attention. And I'm looking at these guys coming in. And you got to know how to read, especially when you can read body language. And they were stealing. They gave themselves away. And they just took all these ballots. And the way their mannerism is what gave themselves away. And sure enough, a few days later, it was reported that a lot of ballots was missing. And I was like, yeah. So this has been going on here a long time.
Ever since the concept of voting has taken place, in forever, they've always been stealing, because I can recall as a little girl how these people would come around during the voting times, and they would give my parents liquor. They would give them liquor. They would give them some dollars, you know, a few dollars, and tell them to vote this way. You know, you can't have this unless you vote this way. That's stealing to me. That's bribery. That's not right. So, you know, they've always done it. So I don't think it's going to change much. I think it's going to be a point to where they're trying to do it now with the one world government dictatorship. So they're working their way.
That's what they're fighting about. That's what they're fighting about. So, well, we'll see what happens, but you know, we got to do something too. You know, we can't, you know, and especially the black folks in Detroit, they really got to wake up, because we definitely under attack. I understand we under attack all over, but it's just, you know, it's pitiful. Everybody going to hospital. I shouldn't say everybody, but the people that I know that's been going in the hospital has not been coming out. And how is they going to tell you you can't bury your people? You can't see the body. How do you know what's going on with the bodies? What is they doing? You know, that's not right. That it don't feel right. It don't look right, and it's not right.
Well, yeah, you know what they say about the melanin and the organs that we have. You know, it's a lot of them sick that can't reproduce or whatever. So, you know, that's probably, you know, something that they are doing with the bodies.
Yes.
So since it's out now to where, you know, because was it in Chicago or somewhere up there? It might have been Detroit, where they found this warehouse full of bodies those Jews had. Yeah, Jews were selling them in a funeral home or something or another.
Yeah.
So since all of that's out, I guess they had to find a different type of way to get the organs and things and make it look like COVID virus. Who would want a diseased body if you've got COVID-19? Would you want their organs? I wouldn't.
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, but the people, I don't believe the people have it. If you go in the hospital,
I don't either. That's my point.
Yeah, everybody that's dying, they dying from that, but that's not true. And some of the family members are speaking up, because they like, my people didn't have that. They died from something else, you know. So some people are speaking up. Well, we're going to get into the book. So tell us what part we on.
Okay, well, we left off part 39, the crown. So we met the crown in part 39. So, you know, they, Varadis McBain and his little sidekick, Titicus, were brought into this room that looked like a Roman basilica. And, you know, a lot of archways and different color floors and things. And they was scared, you know, they heard shrieking, somebody was getting murdered, okay, or skinned or whatever, you know, they were doing with the body, something that we were just finished mm-hmm. talking about. And right now they're there and they're waiting to see whoever this foreboding character comes in and, you know, talks to them. And he was pretty pissed at Varadas because Varadas was supposed to bring back Femi's head or Kishar's head, and he didn't do it. You know, of course, you know, he escaped with the hands of Tidigan with him still in the ship. So they came there. I guess he came there to try to redeem himself. So that's where we are right now. Right now we're on part 38 called Cold Water. Part 38, Cold Water. And if you're ready, I'm ready.
Ready.
Okay. Part 38, Cold Water. Varadas shuddered at the thought of burning fire piercing the body of a lizard. It was just downright wrong in more ways than one. The crown added, "And you," pointing to Tidigan, "what good are you to us besides a lagger, someone that want to tag along? What can you do?" "I can see to the maintenance of the ships. I can specifically guarantee that Varadas stays in the air. I helped him escape from your enemy. We have one of their ships to use for an advantage. I am useful. Please don't kill me," he begged. "I have not made up in my mind what I want to do with you, but I will see how you can best be used. Follow Lieutenant Gertz to your separate quarters, and you will remain there until otherwise. We have much preparation to do." Both Varadas and Tidigan trudged meekly in the rear of the lieutenant as he directed them through the cold, waterlogged, hollowed caverns. It was dark and dank, only seen with candlelight amid the front of one's physical being. Even though Tidigan felt very uncomfortable, Varadas felt right at home. This was a great place for his kind to dwell. In his mind, he felt the reason why the crown had not killed him then was the fact that the Ponticlef was, like him, his kind. He was spared to administer revenge on the one who come the closest to destroying all that was in reach in owning the universe. Meanwhile, the crown was receiving two transmissions, one from the Ponticlef and one other from an old friend he referenced to Varadas. Over the static, the Dracon communicator could hardly comprehend the sounds that were emitting from the speaker, since the water, along with the moisture, had ruined most of their creation underneath the miserably freezing cold water. A clear copy of a man's voice came through a communicator of the crown from the speakers on the wall. The message was then given to His Majesty. The note was read to the hierarchy, stating that she was found and released. Soon, they would be making the transition from flying in space to walking the earth. This was good news to the ears of the crown. His champions were coming home to carry out one last battle. This would either rid the earth from invasion or make Terra a permanent prison for all those who encountered her. The last message was given directly to the crown telepathically. It said, "When the champions arrive, bring them with you to the hallowed earth. Here we will plan our war against the vanguard and defeat them once and for all. Bring the other two. They may be very useful to me. Do not wait. Do not reveal.
for our work has just begun. And bring as many Dracons as you can. Leave the rest to carry on the mission against the armies under the sea, for we will be fighting an endless battle until all of them are dead. The Crown asked for the presence of General Otra. General Otra was favored by the Ponticlife as one of his soldiers who survived the terrible bloody onslaught that Kishar placed upon Geryon Durbar and her regime in the Kurgle fight against the people of the mountains of the moons. He knew that she, of all his dreaded reptilian soldiers, wanted revenge so desperately that she would do anything to achieve it. If the supreme leaders of his heinous army could not bring in the head of Kishar as promised, then this one would. He was counting on her the most to be the surprise the vanguard would not be expecting. As soon as she appeared to him, the Crown said, "Do you recall the war at the Mountains of the Moons? You almost destroyed the barrier with your ship in which Geryon Durbar was attempting to enter and destroy the 140,000, the 144,000. You lost many fellow soldiers in that war, including Jawwalks and the British Talisman. Soon, I received word that Geryon's head was found near the foothills of those mountains, his body burned to a crisp and tossed into the sea. I have always hated those mountains, and even though those ships are gone now, we are going to take that mountain down and use it and use its remains as a playground. I want you to be the one who leads the charge. I want you to have the backs of the supreme ones who are returning. You will be the one who will set it up if any of them fail. There will be a few new soldiers I am calling for to replace those who have fallen for us. We must eliminate the one who has the power to change all history, all the destinies of those who call themselves human. They can never be anything to us except fodder for our gods. Can you be that one? I will be the one who will assist in ending the vanguard's reign. Even with the help of their creators, we will create a force that they will never see coming. I trust your strategy will succeed in bringing about change in a whole and different realm on this planet, in a whole new and different realm on this planet. I want to play a huge role in the effort to rid the earth of these maggots once and for all," she replied. "When I asked for the portal in the sea to stay open for just a few more lens, I didn't think I could get a Dray like you to come through. It's a miracle that you could survive the hell you experienced with all the other demons there. It's a miracle you survived Kishar's assault. I was told to recruit you by a very powerful one who will be joining our legion. Soon, all who resides above will know once again our power and who we are." Okay, Sister Bev, that was part 38, Cold Water.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, sound like what's going on now, they making some changes, trying to get rid of the magnets that's on the earth. And again, sound like a lot of things that's going on at this moment.
Exactly. They're gearing up. They're gearing up for war. They're gearing up to take Kishar and Ishmael down and the Vanguard down. They're gearing up. He's recruiting new people because, you know, when they fought on earth, you know, she destroyed all of them. You know, she took them all out, and she was on her way home. And this was when some of the armies on the other side that was left was in pursuit of them. And so they try to come through the black hole, but then she got them there, too. So they can't destroy this woman and this man. You know, they can't get them. So, and they're trying.
Okay.
So they're gearing up to do it again. And I guess they're going to be fighting in space. I don't know where they're going to be fighting, but they're getting ready to fight another war. Yeah.
But that's what it seems like that's going on here. You know, a lot of the old people are being removed and new people are being put in. And, you know, and soon as one battle is won, here they come again with something else. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it really seems like the same thing.
The same thing, yep. When they can't get you one way, they try to get you another.
Right, right. So. Okay.
All right. 37. Okay, part 37, Spiral in the North. Part 37, Spiral in the North. With many of his soldiers, along with General Otra, prepared for the last meeting with the Pontocleve, the Crown set his sights toward the Middle Earth. He boarded the battle cruiser subship, along with several of their crafts that flew high above the North Pole, to escort the cruiser underneath the North Sea. The New Earth, which occupied less solid land it used to have before the last war, was predominantly water. Fewer than 3.5 billion people existed on the planet now, and the Crown wants fewer slaves than that. There are many acres of dry land to serve the rightful owners of the planet, and much of the rich, dark soil has no dwellings on it, nor is it producing farmland to feed its inhabitants, for they are afraid of retaliation from the unseen Crown. The people know there is something that is present in their life, but try as they might, there is always someone who steers them in the opposite direction when a new idea is formed. There are no such things as treaties, constitutions, and Bill of Rights. There are no types of man-made laws, no man-made communication. Everything is in a natural state. Kishar and her people left the planet free of all these hinders. And yet, it is without a shadow of a doubt, there is that something that still lingers over the minds and souls of the people. Their truths have been hidden, and they don't have a clue to what it is. All they know is quality, equality, and love for each other is an inherited mindset infused in their psyche. Yet, they feel as though they have a need for greed, the other man's wife or her husband, and other carnal thoughts of harming each other. Little did they know they were being solidly reprogrammed from days of old. They saw the lines. They knew the books. They watched the skies and saw flying crafts everywhere now and then. But still, they could not place all those signs as the messages their ancestors left for them. It was as if it went right through them. The pictures they left did not open the frequencies of their pineal glands. It would take the greatest reawakening ever attempted to reach those who were left on the planet. Who knew the opposition retained this practice from centuries past? This stronghold was triple the programs they had given to the masses before. There was no kind of fear left out that was used against them. When the Crown visited the surface for a brief moment, the world above was required to bow down before him. He was always accompanied by a drove of androids or drays to shake up their psyche within. When the people saw them, tense fear struck in their hearts and souls. If they were to be saved, it would take more than one army to save them. It would literally take everyone, including women and children, to fight for the freedoms they once knew, of whom they were, of whom they are. When he departed, there was always this sigh of relief of knowing he would not return for 6 months. Gregorian time to disrupt the harmony that was practiced among them. The reasoning for the visitations was to make absolutely sure they retained obedience under all circumstances. If any citizen was caught out of line, that person was insidiously harvested and left for food for the parasites who served the Pontocles. This ritual maintained a level of population control, legally, in the eyes of the beast. The unnatural laws were bestowed on the unknowing population against their will. At the time, all was in ruin on the surface, but after years of famine, despair, and desperation, the crown resurfaced from cowardly hiding to claim himself the resurrector of all that can save them. The population believed this, and this led to one man who stumbled upon the story of a people who were royal in their own right, the ones who carried the God gene of so long ago. This set of people was isolated, and nobody knew where they were. They all had needed more so than the people who looked exactly like the crown in facial and skin tone appearance. Now, I didn't read that right. Did I? Okay. They had all they needed more so than the people who looked exactly like the crown in facial and skin tone and appearance. Three souls went missing each day, never to be found. No one knew what happened to them. And the privileges were so numerous, no one cared. But this man had a power no one knew of, as he felt as though he could not reveal it to no one for fear of retribution from not only the crown, but from his own kind. The people under the crown enjoyed the free gifts, even if it meant death for sure. What mindless souls accepted this kind of living? The clouds in the north began to swell with the fury as if a pending snowstorm was erupting all over the planet. They knew who was coming. They knew to run and hide, even if there was nowhere to go. A few made a lucky exit to their domiciles or into places of commerce and transportation, hiding in the mass transits, trains, and taxis. They hid in stores, shopping malls, electric fueling stations, all the same, libraries, schools, places of higher education, but it still did not matter. The crown could reach you anywhere you hid. All he had to do was call to you and call you out by your name. You had to come and claim yourself to him. If not, the next person close to you was sacrificed, and no one wanted that. You were given up right away. There was nothing you could do. Life on earth after the war was pure evil. Okay, Sister Ben. I hope I read that good.
Well,
that was part 37.
Well, oh, well. 37. Oh, my God. Seems like we is definitely in that. I was just saying earlier, you know, the people got to be in the fight. That's what you talked about. And you said that they were being harvested for food. And that's what I was saying. They taking these bodies, and it's like the same thing. We don't know what they're doing with these bodies. The family can't be with the bodies. How do we know they're not harvesting for some kind of food for something? And this is part of the population control. We up under that right now. You talked about the crown. What is corona? Don't they say the corona is dealing with the crown? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
It's
so bad. It's so bad here that they hide. They hiding everywhere.
I don't know. You calling it. You know, people got to go hide, and this is like definitely a storm, and it's going coming all over the place. And you talked about the people with the God genes. I mean, you just named it all. This is what we in right now. All this is going on right here, hidden truth and everything.
Sister Bell, when I wrote this in 2008, I did not have a clue of what was going on in 2020. I think this is 2012, actually.
I didn't know.
I had no idea, but yeah, that you know, it's so bad now after that war that you know, even if he just call you out, you know, you got to show up, you know,
that's how they trying to do it. Yeah,
and people giving you up.
If
you don't call out, if you don't go and see what he want or whatever, he call you out. There are other people look like you or whatever that is giving you out, that's calling you out and giving you up. This is, you know, basically what's going on here.
And that's what they're trying to do. So if you don't take your vaccination, if you don't take the test, people going to call you out. And they were talking about that, the news people, when they was asking questions today. Well, how can people go back to working? How do they know that the person they working with don't have the virus? And how do you know if they took the test? Are you going to make everybody take the test or take the shot? You know, that's what they're talking about. They want everybody to be, you know, this is exactly what's going on.
I heard that, Sister Bev. You are definitely right. If you thought what a snitch was yesterday, it's gonna be some snitches out there that's gonna be ruthless.
I mean, they're gonna be so bad. They'll hold you down. You know, now they call on you, but now they'll hold you down till the authorities come. To give you the vaccination or the test or the shot or put that germ in you, however you want to look at it.
Put that chip off up in there.
One. That's what it's all about. Let's do one more.
Okay, Sister B. Okay, so we're going to do part 36. Part 36 is called Serpent Falls. Part 36, Serpent Falls. Most people who encountered the crown's presence was hypnotically in awe of his demeanor. He hated the people in every way, but never showed how much he despised those who survived. And there were so many who did. As his parade rolled through the clean, well-kept cobblestone streets, he was waving and giving false praises and hopes to the less endowed masses, all the while calculating the ways of how his newly formed army would cut down and eliminate the human being. The visit he has scheduled with the Ponticlef will make clear the program in which they will carry out and execute their final plan for the human. The crown and his entourage were treated to a banquet hosted by his most loyal servants who oversaw the beliefs set out by him. Anything to do with or pertaining to the symbol of his majesty was continuously done for his bidding. On the last visit he made, he was served a balance of feta, squash, and a small amount of barbecued human remains. That was the only way he could stomach flesh, as he was trying to desperately get used to it. It was served along with cold Rh negative blood and a long-stemmed wine glass. He was a monster in the eyes of the human. Some knew he had to conform to please the Ponticlef, as this was the preferred diet of the Drakon. Being second in power, the drinking of the blood was acceptable, but the flesh was an acquired taste, something he had to get used to. Suddenly, one of his handlers whispered in his ear to end his foul meal and return to his depressive caravan of evil. Once inside of his vehicle, he was told to go to the inner world. He was told to go to the inner world at the top of the earth, where he would be meeting the Warsapian king of Mesopia. The draconic leader had been in hiding, along with many other former sinister leaders who left their bloodlines of hate and disdain to further destroy the smallest amount of humanity the people had left. Of course, the lizard's lifespan is much broader than the average human, and he's always been in opposition with those who opposed him and knew what he was. In his hostility, this would be the final decision made to stamp out the human being and to regulate this blue planet, third from the sun, in honor to serve and benefit his ways of what or who should prosper there. To him, this was a very long time coming. He knew of the creators and the power they held, but in knowing that he was a creation of theirs, he was prepared to defy whoever they sent to correct his resentful and despicable behavior. Nearing the ceiling of the hole, there was a generous amount of fog, so thick that the cloudy conditions created a problematic situation. The Ponticlef dispersed several Drakons to escort the jaded priest inside and down the cavernous mountains to a clear dome. Outside of the dome, there seemed to be an artificial light coming from somewhere overhead, just above the entrance. The air was clear outside. Inside, the air was smoggy and wet, with water everywhere you looked. It represented the air of a bygone Chinese city before the 2042 war. This was a replication of the planet Mesopia. Ponticlef felt right at home in it. After being seated in the transporter, the crown was none too pleased to meet with him because of the failed attempt on Kishar's life and her vanguard. The mistake on Varadis's part could bring severe consequences to him and his army that served from down deep in the North Sea. Parked on the slippery green platform, the crown's subship was inundated with Drakons for the safety and security of the Ponticlef. He took no chances when it came to him and the agenda he planned for the future. All prisoners were taken, including the loyal servants who carried out his biddings. This thing, the Ponticlef, was the epitome of dark evil. A monster with his snarling, jutted out front teeth that were razor sharp. He had long appendages that served him well, both arms and legs. His huge head swelled on each side, going wide in both directions with upside down horns of the Baphomet. The mindset and DNA makeup of this gruesome and hostile alien was capable of surviving either in or out of the waters. As with all Drays, this was one ability where they triumphed over the humanoid species. But never any match or threat to the Syrians and the Nibirians. The crown stepped on the surface and was immediately greeted by one of his top aides. Neticus. He said, "Welcome to Serpent Falls. The Pontocles has anticipated this meeting for a very long time, since the war. He scheduled his dinner around your meeting and hasn't eaten yet. He demanded your presence in joining him. Relay to the Pontocles that I stopped by to see how well the humans on the surface were doing, since I had a little time to visit them, and when I did, I had dinner up there. So there is no need for me to interrupt his. I would like to be shown to my quarters before our visit." "Oh, no. The Pontocles insists on your company this instant. There will be plenty of time to relax. You will show your loyalty to him now. I insist. You and your soldiers follow me." The crown ordered his soldiers to march with the Dracons to the Pontocles' lair. On the way, in a beautiful place such as this, despite the thick and engulfing fog, it was rather a beautiful place. It felt like a rare tropical experience mimicking the surface. One would never know the grotesque, the suffering, the horrors of the human beings who are captured each day and brought down to his lair for consumption. What he didn't consume, the soldiers took full advantage of his leftovers. They were never given permission to capture and consume the humans unless stated otherwise. But on this day, over 100 were captured, prepared, and made for feasting for each Dracon for the last and final battle in Earth's galaxy. Coming into view was the vast garden of the Pontocles. Inside, there were unusually large trees and plants all along a walkway that flourished with thousands of assorted rare and amazing foliage. How can evil enjoy so much beauty and thrive in the same place? A question the crown asked himself about himself, not to mention the Pontocles. He saw within his core the beauty of life, even though it meant nothing to him. All right, Sister Bev, that was Serpent Falls.
Okay. Now, you talking about they drinking blood and eating flesh, and ain't that what Dr. Robert X been talking about, what these Satanists been doing, and we don't know if that's why they accumulating all these bodies, and you say they was like under hypnosis, and that's what it feels like. We've been under some kind of hypnosis. They got us as prisoners. We prisoners in our own home. So,
yeah, not to mention what they're doing with the bodies when they say you got coronavirus, what they doing with the bodies.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean,
wow.
We in it. So, someone in the chat room say they really like your book. They like the story. They enjoy
it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much in the chat room. Appreciate you. Thank you.
And tell them how they can get it. And they can also get an autograph book, too. How can they get it?
Well, yes, they can. They can go to chemistryfiles.com, K-E-M-E-T-S-T-R-Y-files.com, and go to the very back where it says email me. And there's a space there where you can email me, tell me how to send it back to you, and I can send it to you, autograph copy, and let me know how to get it to you.
Okay.
And
excellent.
Also, yeah, my email is the same, chemistryfiles@gmail.com.
And if anybody if they want to talk to the author, you got time to call in, 323-642-1586, 323-642-1586, and push the 1. So if you have a question or comment or suggestions or anything, you can call in now. Go ahead, Sister Seta.
Oh, I was going to say that, you know, I was telling everyone last week about if you get the 5 novels, it will be shipping and handling free. It's on me. If you want to get all 5 of them, you know, through the same way on my webpage. So I'm offering that. And they all 5 will be signed by me as
okay.
well.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And we do have a caller, 732-215.
Hi. Hi. Know what it sounds like to me that there's been vampires forever. Now it sounds like
yes.
it's vampires and eating the bodies. Then it even sounds like now with this curfew they have, like in some places it's between 5 a.m. and 8 p.m. And we know the vampires, that's when they come out at night. So is that what it, you know, is that what it could be too? They took our blood. Now they're taking our bodies. Now they're putting curfews on people, even talking about putting those ankle bracelets on people to make sure they don't go out. So that's what it sounds like to me. We got vampires back in the worst way.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a curfew here, too. Ours start at 10 at night.
And what time does it start at 10?
Mm-hmm.
To what time?
Yeah. I'm not sure, but it's probably when it get light, and it starts getting light about 6 or 7.
Well, believe it or not, my sister, where I am, our governor started the curfew at 5. Everybody has to be off the street at 5 o'clock. Of course, you can go back out from 5 to 5, but that's kind of ridiculous. The only way you need to go out is, you know, get your groceries, or if you got an emergency, going to the hospital. Other than that, you know, you have to be either inside or on your porch or around your property. And it's ridiculous. And as far as you mentioned about those the bracelets, that's my first time hearing that. So they're putting bracelets on people now.
Yeah, I heard it too. Yeah.
Putting bracelets on people. Yeah,
but you know what? The numbers don't add up though, because I mean we've had other epidemics, and it's been way more people that have died, and we didn't have to be locked down. Why are we being locked down? And the numbers is really not that high if you look at them.
It's not.
They're not
here. Even when they say that it's airborne, it's not even outside in the ear at all. Maybe right after it started, they said that. Is it okay if I just talk very frankly?
Yes,
oh, that's
indeed.
Okay. they were saying that this is something that, of course, they blame everything on President Trump. So they were saying that it was something that this President Trump did. So I was saying, I don't see how he could have done this. I said, because they had a patent on it in 2006, and then it was some type of release, I think, in 2014. I said, so I don't see how he could have done it. I said, plus, it's like you're saying it's airborne, but it's not outside in the ear. When I went into the supermarket, I felt it. I rode with somebody in their car. I felt it then. I said, so it's not out there. So someone came back. I'm a Facebook freak. I shouldn't say freak, but I love Facebook. And I'd be fighting for President Trump with everything I have. So someone came back on, and he said, well, he had this monitor. He monitored the ear inside of the house. The air inside of the house was 260-something bags. He went to the outside, and the air was zero clear, good. And so I said, well, how is it out there? So So that's what it is. It's not about, I don't, you know what, and quite frankly, saying this, that daggone virus is gone now. I know a lot of times I say what I feel and not bragging
yeah.
anything. Afterwards, it's usually right. But
yeah.
I feel it's gone. I really do. And this is just
yeah.
them trying to control and conquer, as your book says. That's all this is
yeah.
about. And we have
yeah.
to find a way to stop this. You know, even the Willie Lynch's letter said it's going to be the black female that stops all
yeah.
of this. So
yeah.
we really, someone was on the other night, and she was asking, well, what do we do? So I don't know if you want to bring me back into the queue later on or whatever, but I came up.
Because tell it now, because we, you know,
okay.
we have to end.
So, you know,
yeah.
what I had started doing is I don't want to set out to hurt anyone,
mm-hmm.
but it's always self-preservation. It's first. So
mm-hmm.
if there's anyone that tries to hurt anyone for any reason, that should be sent back to the sender. So we say,
right.
well, how do we send it back to the sender? The word prayer or pray, I don't use. I'm so into words because I begin to see what we eat, that is what we are. And so
mm-hmm.
It's a story about the cat. But anyway, my cat taught me the word of pray. So I don't use the word pray because we become the prey. We people
right.
pray and they're sending it out. And that's why it returns back in void, because we're using just the wrong word makes a big difference. So I say sacred authoritations. So I could
okay.
never, I guess people say, well, this lady is crazy. So I said, okay,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you have to do things by yourself. So I see much, much, much happen when I do. But could you imagine
mm-hmm.
if people come together and we just say, okay, we haven't done anything to anyone. Why should these bodies, our loved ones, I don't know what I would, yes, I do know what I would do, but I won't say it. If one of my loved ones, the body was gone, guess what? I'm finding the body. I mean that. I'm going to find that
mm-hmm.
body however I have to. And so
mm-hmm.
don't no one have the right to do that to anybody. So should we
right.
say, send out sacred authoritation? We want our people. We want our loved ones. With the people that's trying to hurt us and whatever they're doing with this daggone virus, let it go back to the senders. But see, the only
yeah.
thing is people become afraid. They don't want to do that. But fear,
wow.
fear is our enemy. Fear is the conqueror. Even with the
right.
virus, it's fear that lets
yes.
it take over.
Yeah.
So I know a long time ago I started to, it was a word, and I said, okay, I wanted to be able to send thoughts. And so I said, but,
mm-hmm.
okay, like, have you ever been, years ago it happened more than it does now. Maybe it still happens a lot now. I don't know.
Well, it does.
Anyway,
it happened years ago because they're blocking you with the 5G. You know, they have that in conjunction with this made-up virus that's trying to stop us from doing what we need to do. But main thing we need to do is go back
mm-hmm.
a few years. Go back a
okay.
few years and do what our ancestors did. You know, because I was just thinking, back when we had funerals during my mother's, you know, before my mother's passing, they always brought the bodies at home and they would sit in the living room. And it kind of scared the children. You know, it kind of had me scared, but at least the people knew where their family was. They knew where that
right.
body was. They didn't have control of it. The family had control of that body.
Yes. No,
see?
There's no way they should have our DNA
exactly.
anyway, and that's what that is. Go ahead. I'm
exactly.
And they're using the virus to say we can't have our loved one. That's what they're using.
Yes, because everyone that goes in the hospital now, if they come out, but 9 out of 10, they don't, because they say they have the virus. And when they pass
right.
away, and this baby, this lady's having a fit. As a matter of fact, Candace Owens, you know, she's one of President Trump's main people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
right.
She,
mm-hmm.
She's from Connecticut. So she came on one day, and she was saying, well, you know, I'm very upset with that president over there in Connecticut. I don't know his name. Not the president, excuse me, the governor.
The governor.
And so she
mm-hmm.
says, I'm
right.
very upset with him because she has two sisters. Both of them live in Connecticut. They both had babies. It's not funny, but sometimes you laugh to keep baby. Her baby was about 9 months old, so the baby dies. So then the governor spreads out that it was from the coronavirus.
Yeah,
so the mother that the baby passed is just having a fit, and her two sisters were so scared. So she was calling for the governor to step down. So this is what it seems like. Every time someone dies or something, they're blaming it on this virus.
That's what.
Well, if
doing.
Exactly, if 9/11 wasn't enough, this is a continuation of the breakdown of the freedoms that we've all enjoyed in our lives. So this is just a continuation of that, and it's going to get worse because we're not going to go back. They're saying going back to normal. There's no way that we're going to be able to go back to normal, and living this in my lifetime it's not surprising to me because we've been in fear, and you know, when they say, well, you know, African Americans, you know, they're putting us, you know, it's like we are responsible for the coronavirus that is happening within us because African Americans have higher diabetes, they have higher body fat, they have higher heart disease, and it's really killing them now. So, you know, it's like, well, why didn't you say that in the first place? So now, just why are you just now bringing this out 2 or 3 days later, you know, before this coronavirus thing is supposed to die down? So now it seems like they're ramping it back up, using us as fodder.
Yeah.
That's my question for them. Why are you doing this when you know it's a lie? It is you all that's dying, not us. So they got to have something to use to keep this mess going, keep this lie going.
And my husband is a veteran, right? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But
I was just going to say, I'm reading between the lines what you're saying, caller, and I feel like that the other women that's listening, they can read between the lines, and we all need to do it we don't have to do it at the same time, but we all need to get in and do what you're talking about.
And you know what? If we do, do you realize how much power? I think, what do you call it? Truth of power, right?
I think we need to set it up as such.
Yes,
I think we need to set this up and do this as a whole, as a group, as a like mind. I've been saying that.
But see, you got the other entities that, okay, if you put it out there, what time, what day, then they're going to put their forces and it's going to be like a battle. Where I just feel like we need to keep it going. You know, I'm going to do mine, you do yours, you do yours, the other do theirs. We ain't all bunched up. We're not all grouped up.
And instead of getting it out there like that, you know, we can, you know, maybe, well, no, because it probably wouldn't work either. You know, put it out there at the exact time that we're going to implement it, but, you know, it still will be out there. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, Sister Bev. That makes better sense. That makes better sense.
Yeah.
You don't think we should do it like in unity for more power?
It would be in unity.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sister. It would be in unity, but it's spread out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
not at the same time. Different times, you're saying, or what?
But you know,
I can't believe I'm talking to you. Thank you.
But you know what? It will be, because just say that you do it at. Just say you do it at 11. See, we got to start using our telepathy. This is why we are in quarantine, so we can get back into our power. So just say you're going to do it at 11. Somebody else going to pick it up, and it might be 10 people doing it at 11 without y'all even saying it. And then somebody else might say, well, I'm going to do it at 1. But then it might be 20 other people that say, oh, I'm going to do it at 1, you know?
Or it can be done every hour. You know, you could have 20 people doing it at 11, have 20 other people doing it at 12, 1, 2, and continue on each and every day. We just won't use one day. We'll keep this going. It's a constant.
It's a war.
This is a war.
We need our men. We need our women. We need our children. We need all of us. All of us.
Mm-hmm. And you know what they say about vibrations, right?
Vibrations are
important for our people. When I worked for my daughter, taking care of my granddaughter, and she was 10. By the time she was 1 year old, I had her practically spelling her name and all of the alphabets. So, but when I taught her, the schools don't teach like this anymore. A, ah, B, buh, right?
Yeah. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
The vibrations of the sound. She started going to school, and guess what? The way they're teaching her, she has nothing there. So when we do this, we all need to get a vibration of sounds. Even say like our names. I call myself Ishtar, and I pronounce it Ishtar. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
To put the vibrations
in
everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with this time and with this downtime that we have now, this is the perfect opportunity to teach our children extracurricular subjects that's pertaining to our people and to really get that truth out there to our children where they won't be distracted in their schools.
Yeah.
Just learning what they want them to learn. Perfect time. They just don't know what they did.
We need to call this our uptime. You know how you upload? This is not our downtime. This is our uptime. We upload.
Up.
Exactly. Beautiful.
And then what they said about the virus, do you remember when they said that the virus was going to hurt the older people first? And then I don't think we heard about that many older people dying from it. But what that was about was they wanted to get rid of the older people so they could take property or whatever else they had. This lady has 7 children, older woman. So anyway, she got sick. They claimed all of her children had the virus, and they're trying to take her property. Then my husband.
Oh, my God.
Yep. As far as them saying because of this illness and that illness, my husband is a veteran. Everything you can name, mental illness, unhealthy illnesses, whatever it is, he has it, diabetes, COPD, he got everything. Guess what? He hasn't had a touch of anything. So when they try to say it's going to hit us first too, that is another lie, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lie. And like I said, I'm one of those people, I used to get on my daughter's nerves so much. But then after a while, she says, okay, Mommy, but it just seems like you say it. Nobody knows nothing about it, so you sound crazy. You sound crazy. And so I started telling her last week. I said, Sam, I just got this good feeling. I said, I haven't had this good feeling in a long time. So I said, say, the next day, I think this virus is gone. So the beginning of this week, I told her, I said, Sam, I'm sure this virus is gone. This is all about control now.
Yeah.
It was always.
It is.
You know what I actually think about this virus? I feel as though they only inoculated a few people to start this thing off. I don't think there was ever a coronavirus. I think it was a select people enough to get this out, just like 9/11, just the players to get this out to this is so fake that they chose a few people to scare up the whole entire world.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my feeling. Because
some garbage in the ear.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because each spring I get a little fever. I get a little hay fever. It's hay fever because you got the pollen and you got all this stuff that's coming out in the spring. It doesn't cause this type of thing going on. So they had to inoculate a few people to scare a whole entire planet. This is what I'm looking at. This is what I see. So, yeah, you're right. This coronavirus is not here. It's gone. It's gone.
Right. It is.
It never was.
And just like we're doing it now, as I say, I'm into this word thing. We are speaking into existence even, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Very powerful.
And, we will speak it out of existence.
Yeah.
Right, Sister Beth.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everybody is keeping it here. Every channel you turn on, every TV, it's that same thing. They all, that's energy. They giving it power. They feed
it. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they give it power. We're going to give it, we're going to take that power away.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start on mine tonight. So everybody, we keep it going. And other people going to listen to the show, you know, later on when they download the show and listen. So people will start at different times. And we just, and like in your story, what is it started with the lady, the woman, remember? It started with
exactly.
her, and then her man
yes,
came
like,
on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we got to do. We got to get it going. And the men's are coming.
If y'all want to, right, if you want to go back and check it out, just go back to Truth to Power Show and listen to Bright Light. That's where it all started. And then you can, you know,
yeah.
get up from there if you want to download it.
Yeah.
And I say, yeah. I say to everybody, download, download, download all the information you can, because I feel there will be some days of darkness. And for me, those days of darkness is where they're going to take all, try to get all this information off the internet,
yeah.
and it won't
yeah.
be available for you. So I figured anything that you all
yeah.
feel that is very important that you want to keep, you know, you need to get you some of those removable discs and download everything
yes.
you
oh,
can.
Yes.
Because
yes.
when they
say,
do put the
yes.
internet, yeah, when they put the internet back up, it's nothing's going to be there. Nothing's going to
yeah.
be there. Once they bring it back and take all the information off and they bring it back to you, the only thing's going to be on there is what they're going to want you to know, hence 1984.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I suggest,
right.
yeah, yeah. Get what you can off of there.
And what they did is, like I say, I support President Trump with everything I have. So right now they have an iPad. I have a desktop. They've shut me down. At first they said because I said he did not put this virus out here. They said, well, he signed off on something in the 27th, I think, of March. So he did have something to do with it. So they said I was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fact check on me. But what I did was I was somebody else said something, and I came in after that. So they shut me down for an hour, and then so I got. I just find a way most of the time to get through.
Well, now is this on Facebook? They shut you down?
No, Facebook. It's Comcast messing with Facebook. Did it for an hour. But what happened
mm-hmm.
is Comcast now. So you see, Comcast is telling me that my name, oh, well, that's not your name in my 732. This is my telephone number, and it's not my telephone number. So I can't get through it.
Wow.
I said, that's all right. So but I'm going to be back by Monday. I'm coming back one way or another because I don't know what they think they're doing, but it's not going to happen but so long, you know?
Well, there are some things I noticed about Facebook. You know, I'm on Facebook, and I
mm-hmm.
don't have a page, but I don't have a something, you know, on my own. I do have a group. It's called the Cosmic Legacy Group, and it's on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
The Cosmic with the K, Kosmic, Cosmic Legacy Group. And I posted something, and the Facebook was telling me, that, you know, we looked at that information and that is not right. We're checking on that. And, you know, they kind of like shut it down and they said, you know, and here's why, but it's perfect information. Basically how a flu or a cold would start, you know, in your throat, you know, and you gargle,
mm-hmm.
you know, things start in your throat, in your nose. It's like a sinus thing. And they told me that was wrong. And so now here lately, I've been seeing people's picture on Facebook, and it's got this little blue dot that's
mm-hmm.
on your
yeah.
face, and it's on everybody's face. It's a little round blue dot, and I don't know what that is, and thank God my picture's not on there.
Well,
but
somebody said
but you know that is where it starts, right up in the nose area, because that's
exactly.
I never knew it before, but that's the coldest part of our bodies, and I guess that's why when we have mucus, it can get thick because it's cold. But that was so true. So, and that's what and I hate to say this, but that's what the doctors are doing too. When people are coming together, like I say, the peroxide. I mean, I've known people with, not known, but there's people I know got cured with this, that had the virus by peroxide. So they came in after I went and said the peroxide. They came in and they downed it and everything else. Then when President Trump came back with that chloroform, I can't pronounce it right now. But anyway, I said, oh, great. I came back. I said, all this is peroxide. Not all it is, but the main ingredient is peroxide. So it'll work fine. And so now that thing is working, and the doctors will not approve it in a way. And I know people will say anything about a doctor, but they all are working together against us.
Exactly.
Well, what was you going to say, Sister Bev? Sister Bev, what were you going to say? You was going to say something.
I know, but, you know, it comes in and then it goes out.
Forgive me, please. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
you.
No, that's okay. You're fine. You're fine. Yeah.
No, you were going to going to say something about some people. Someone told you something. Someone had told you something.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll get to it.
It'll come back.
You can tell us tomorrow.
It'll come back. Yeah. So, but yeah, and I've been spraying up my nose with silver water. Some people have been getting a blow dryer and they've been blowing up their nose and it's been killing it. You know, I've been using the zinc because that medicine has got zinc in it too that the president been talking about.
Okay.
I've been using
hydrochloroquine.
Well, queen or something, whatever. It's
quinine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can actually get the hydrochloroquine. I didn't know you could get that. I thought it was something you had to give us.
Well, no, you can. It's all. I mean, you can go to the drugstore. It's got to have a prescription, though. But you can get it. That's what the lady here in Detroit. She's a state representative. She was dying, and she heard Trump tell her. He talked about it. She was listening to him on the TV, and she had her husband to go to the store and get it from the pharmacy, and she said it just all of a sudden she just came back right quick.
Well, good for her.
We had another one of her state representatives. He died, and she was on her way out, and she took it, and she said it worked it real quick. It worked fast.
Yeah, and that's what else my husband said. Being a veteran, he said when he was overseas in malaria areas, he said that's what they gave them. He said, and it worked fine.
Yeah.
Nobody got malaria. And like he said, they said it killed somebody at first. He said nobody died from it or anything.
Right. And this
well, they want to push the shot.
55. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they're pushing the shots. They don't want you to have the medicine. They rather for you to be chipped. And this
That's
is another phase of their fear tactics to try to control the world. And that's what we're into right now.
And so have y'all looked at Amazing Polly video? Amazing
I do
Polly,
look at her. Sister, I do check her out.
Well, look
I never
at
heard
her. Well, you need to call her. You need to get her. She's on YouTube. She break it down. She like Dr. Robert X. She do the research. I love her research. But look how she do the research on the two doctors that's up there. The little man, we call him the midget, and the lady with the scar. She broke both of them down. They the enemies. They working with Bill Gates.
Who knows nothing about medicine. He's not a doctor. Definitely.
No, it's about the money. See, they made all this money off of the HIV. They did this with it. They was the ones running that, pushing that HIV, and they did that. Look how they killed a lot of black folks with the HIV.
Oh, yeah.
And now they want to do it again with this.
A continuation of the syphilis, the way they did our men in Tuskegee.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And who did you just say look up Dr.
Her name is Amazing Polly, P-O-L-L-Y.
P-O-L-L, okay.
She's on YouTube. And look at her last video, or the second from the last. She break it down. She tell you what company they associated with. She break it all down.
Okay.
Well, ladies, we had a good conversation.
Yes, we have, Sister Bev. We did. I enjoyed it.
I did too.
And so we're gonna keep it. We're gonna start putting that energy out there. We're gonna keep that energy flowing. It's gonna be like a wave, and we're gonna keep that energy. We're gonna overpower that enemy.
Yes. Yes.
And all we're going to have to do is, we don't have to say nothing, just sit and watch and see. You're going to start seeing things turning around. You're going to start seeing things happening.
I also talk to the ancestors, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a sister. She's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other people. And I call on them. I call on all the ancestors.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Indeed.
That's power.
Indeed.
And I go outside so it can go all out into all of the earth in it, you know?
We've got to make it back to our roots.
Yes.
Go ahead, Sister Bev. Go ahead.
It made sense. It made sense when the lady was saying that the people was getting sick inside of their homes when the guy did the air. You know, when she said the guy went outside. Because I told you I had been going out in the suburbs. I've been riding around in the city. And in the suburbs, they out. They at the parks. They walking. They riding their bikes. They skating. The children is out. They got the babies on the lawn. They got blankets on the lawn. But in the city, they not. So it's not outside. It's probably in the city, and it's probably coming from those motors. For the computer, they're probably shooting it in through that.
Yes, yes.
That's a thought, Sister Bev, because I tell you, there. One day I'm going to the store, and then everything is good, and then the next day I see this white truck pulled to the side and putting these things up, which he was installing 5G. So I feel as though they want to. Yeah, they want to keep you in long enough so you won't see anything. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So you can be blindsided, you know. You need to, whether you're looking left and they're looking right. They're doing something this way.
Exactly.
When you need to be looking that way. So they want to try to keep you from that, keep you in fear, keep you in the house. Say you're going to die if you go outside and breathe the air, which my understanding, coronavirus is only transmittable if someone's coughing and, you know, you're getting the cough, you know, throws at you or whatever. That's my understanding of it. I didn't think it was airborne that you can just breathe and catch it.
That ain't what they told us. Right.
Mm-hmm. They're saying different things,
lying
too, about everything. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Which is it? Is it airborne or is somebody sneeze on you? It's got to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure if you sneeze, exactly, if you sneeze, it's not going to linger in the air forever, overnight, and the next day, and the next day. No way.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
They're blood suckers. They want to kill the humans. They want this planet. Exactly. They want this planet for themselves. There's other things working in conjunction with these evil humans, and I say that it's not human, and we're living in it now.
But we got to fight back, and so that's what we
got to
do.
That's right. Because nobody's fighting.
We
got to
do it.
It's a war going on, just like they wanted to take everybody's guns, and this is the reason why they wanted to take the guns. On Facebook, I said when people want to disarm a people, it's because they're getting ready to make war against you, and they want you to be defenseless.
Yeah.
You know? And everybody is like, oh, well, you can't do nothing. If you say you can't do nothing, it's because you won't do
then
nothing.
Then you won't. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we're going to do something.
Yeah. We are too powerful to sit back and let this happen.
We have to be dedicated to do this.
Yes.
We can't back down now. You know, once you start, we have to keep doing this. That's why I enjoy reading the chemistry trilogies, to put it out there in everybody's mind that we got to start doing something. We can't just stop. We can't just talk about it. We got to be about it. We got to do it.
Exactly.
So
time
Beth,
it is.
What sign are you?
Virgo.
I'm a Libra.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Sister Beth. Okay, Libra and Virgo. I'm Pisces. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay, Pisces.
But we're all children of the universe, of the cosmos, and we can get this together. You know, when we were in our mother's womb, we come through all of those signs.
Yes.
So we're
yes.
everything. We're all
yes,
of
that's right.
So
we all of
we're gonna yeah. we gotta do this. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're gonna do it. And so well thank you ladies. We gotta move on, and so I appreciate the energy. I appreciate the knowledge, and we're going to get this energy moving. And until next time, and I'll be on tomorrow with Tugmo, and so he's going to be talking metaphysics. So you know, join me tomorrow.
Okay,
Sister Bev, I appreciate it. Go ahead, caller.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
No, I was just saying thank you both, and I'll be on tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sister Seta, for your work. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Sister Bev. Thank you.
Okay. Peace and love.
Peace.
Peace, everyone.